And we all have the honor to welcome Miss Annie from Malawi, the famous mother of Malawi. So we are so happy to have her among us tonight. She will deliver the message of tonight, and I think we will have some time for questions and answers after her speech.
You know, I was just sitting there and thinking how funny it is. In the Western world, we always say, once you really have got accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't go back to Egypt. Do you know that saying? You don't go back to Egypt. And I thought, well, here I am, after 53 years, I'm back in Egypt. But this time, it's not a negative one. It's a positive one. And thank you for having me here. I really appreciate that. And you've just seen what God can do just because you believe Him. Now, it is now 23 years ago that I had a new husband. God had very clearly spoken to me to go to Malawi. Now, you need to understand, I was a successful businesswoman at the time. I lived in a very good area in Johannesburg. And here, there was this poor black pastor in Malawi who wanted me to become his wife. And I wasn't going to become his wife. But he used to phone me and he said, Annie, when are we going to get married and where? In Johannesburg or in Blantyre, Malawi? And I would say, I'm not going to marry you. And he would say, you're a woman of God and you will marry me. You'll listen to what he says. And eventually, that is exactly what God told me to do. Do you know, it is so amazing that the Word of God says that my sheep hear my voice and will not follow the voice of another. Isn't that fantastic that we can hear the voice of God? And He leads us in a direction which we don't even really know where we're going. And so I married this poor black pastor who at one stage was in government, who was a well-off businessman, but had now become this poor black pastor. And I moved into his house. And I moved into a totally derelict house. The rats, there were more rats than people. In fact, there were so many rats that I used to put socks on at night because I was worried about the rats biting my toes. So I found myself in a very difficult circumstance. When God calls, it doesn't mean that He's going to go and put you in a situation which is going to be so nice. It may just be that you've got to look past the circumstances and say, oh wait, is this what He wants me to do? So I find myself in a derelict house. I find myself in a very difficult tradition, a very different tradition. And my late husband, he had 10 children. He did very well. He multiplied. And what happened was one after the other one was dying of AIDS. A very difficult situation for me. And the ones who were left over decided that I was going to inherit the property on which my husband lived, which was a 50-acre piece of beautiful land. And they tried to make my life a misery. A total misery. But you know what? When you've heard the voice of God, you're not going to move away. You're not going to run away. And they decided if this woman doesn't run away, we are going to go and kill her. One day, I found a big group of people approaching my house. In the meantime, we'd moved out of that derelict house. to a house next to this property, this 50-acre property. And I saw the group approaching. But a year prior to that, they had already tried to kill me in a car accident, and I'd broken my back in that car accident. So at that particular time, I could not run away when I saw the group approach. And I went under the bed. I don't know, I had this idea that the Malawians, they all sleep on a mat, or many of them, and perhaps they won't find me under the bed. And it didn't take long, and they smashed the whole house. Everything was smashed. And they came into the house, and they found me under the bed, and they took me outside, and they kicked me. They had pangas. They went right through my legs. They made a thorough mess out of me. But you know what was so amazing? And what is so different with a child of God, whom we are, you know, a child of God has put into, what I had put into myself was the Word of God. I had fed myself with His Word. And I knew that whatever circumstance I would find myself in at that moment of time, I was cocooned in His love. I was outside, they've dragged me outside, and there were all these people shouting, and I would go be unconscious, then conscious again, and unconscious. But you know what? It felt as if I was cocooned in the love of God. It was just amazing. And I remember saying, Father, today I will be, if you want me dead, I'll be dead and I'll be with you. If you want me to be alive, I'll be alive and I will serve you. And at that moment of time, two policemen came on their bicycles, which was very interesting, to save me. Praise God. And I went to hospital, and I was thoroughly smashed up. And after 8 days in the hospital, they started throwing stones on the roof, and I had to be evacuated out of the hospital, put into the plane, and I went to South Africa for medical care, where I was for 1.5 years. And that is where the battle began. Because now I had to learn to forgive. I had to learn to forgive my husband's children who thought I would inherit their land and wanted to kill me for a piece of land. And I would not have inherited that land. It was just amazing how, as I took the Word of God and I memorized every scripture about forgiveness, the closer I got to forgiving. You know, so many of us think that if we have such good reasons not to forgive, because it is just so bad what they've done to you. But just remember, that's not the way God works with us. He wants us to forgive. And I got closer and closer and closer to saying one day that I had forgiven. But now, what was I going to do? Was I going to go back? Were my circumstances deleting the calling of God on my life? You know, some of you probably are in situations where you say, well, I'm just not going to do anymore what God has told me to do. I'm not going to into Africa anymore, because whatever your reason are. But you know what? Circumstances or whatever is happening in your life do not delete the Word of God. He had said, come. He said, go to Malawi. Was I now going to stay away because of the circumstances because they wanted to kill me. And again, God just works on our hearts. You know, we're all under construction, I always say. We're all under construction, and that is just so amazing that if we commit ourselves to the builder, the great builder, he'll construct and construct, and he'll make us more and more men and women of God, so that we want to submit to his plan for our lives. And you know, I realized that the Word of God says, with my God, I can jump over a wall. We can do great things if we submit ourselves to Him. And as time went by, and as healing came to my body, healing came to my spirit. Healing came so that I could go back to the country God had given me to give myself to. Perhaps there are some of you who are called, and yet you haven't answered that calling. I went back, and I was so anxious because I had forgiven, but I wanted to see that forgiveness in operation. And I knew that if I had forgiven, nothing negative would rise up on the inside of me when I would see my husband's children who had been the perpetrators of getting this group of people together to kill me. And I arrived in Blantyre, and one of the sons of my late husband, he'd gone behind the building where I arrived, and I thought, no, wait a minute, I want to see him. I want to see what God has done in my life. I want to see if I've really forgiven. And when I looked at him, and it was just, wow, you know, God has done a work. But it was only his word which did the work in my heart, because I put it in there. And the last one I saw was the daughter who was going around the house telling everybody to kill that white. That's what they see, went around and around and around and the house with this group. And when I saw her, it was just, I'd bought food for her and I couldn't wait to see her. And I went up the hill and she came down the hill, and I saw her and I hugged her, and we went into her little house, and my husband and I sat on the chairs and she sat on the floor according to tradition. And I looked at her, and I was so delighted, that I thought, you know what? I love you. I actually love you. And only just God can do that. Then I got back to the place where they had destroyed everything. I'd started a nursery school that was destroyed. I'd started all sorts of work for the poor people in the villages. They had destroyed everything. And I said, Father God, what now? What do you want me to do now? Everything has been destroyed. But you still have a plan for me. The plan hasn't fallen away. And I stood with a little baby in my arms, and the Lord said to me, that little child, that baby was dying of AIDS. It was horrible. And he said to me, this is where you start, with this little baby. I said, thank you, Father. And I found the house. And the Lord said to me, this is where the house is, where I want you to start. And believe me or not, once again, God gave me a totally derelict house. Completely derelict. And the people who were the trustees of the NGO, they said, but you can't do anything here. you're going to put children here? I said, you know what? I don't know what to do, but I know that God knows what to do, and I know He's going to do it. I did not have any money. None. But let me tell you what. That whole house needed renovating. I went to one church. One church. And the offering of that one church was enough. I just want you to listen to the faithfulness of God. That one offering was enough to renovate that whole house. Isn't that amazing? What God will do when you believe Him to do what He tells you to do. So my first baby came. In the meantime, we had everybody just bringing things. Just furnishing this house for the babies. Because the Lord had told me to take only babies. And I had, the babies were coming. And the babies were dying too. And that was the saddest part of it. Because at that particular time, this is now 17 years ago, we did not have any medicines for those babies. And if they had AIDS, there's nothing we could do but just hold these little babies in our arms and just simply sing to them and let them go into their eternal home. And this house became too small. It didn't take very long. And we had to buy another house. And this time, we went to buy a house. I didn't want to rent a house anymore. I wanted our own house. And you know what? God provided that. And He's been miraculous in His provision all along. And in the year 2000... I walked. What happened? My late husband, he decided, he said to his children, if you want to kill my wife for this land, I'm going to sell it. And he sold the land, the 50 acres. I walked on that land in the year 2000. And the Lord said to me, while I queried him about the fact that on that land so many people had got to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, so many people were baptized in that dam, so many prophecies were spoken out over that land, I said, Father God, how is it possible that this land belongs to an unbeliever? And God said to me, this land will come to you. It will come to Kondanani. And I said, thank you, Father. And I went home, because now we lived right next door to it on a piece of land. And I wrote down a division of the land. And I put it away. And I just believed God. I would walk on that land and I would say, thank you, Father, this land is going to come to us. When I didn't know when His timing was right, but I simply said, thank you, Father, this land is going to come. You know, I'm actually trying to tell you that listening to God is actually worthwhile. You know, Jesus came that we may have life and life more abundant. And He wants to give us abundant life. Now you may say, well, you know, was that abundant life? Being beaten to death just about. Actually, you know, it wasn't. But it's my attitude towards it made the difference. It's how I responded to what had happened to me. That is what made the difference. And it was in the year 2003, in May, the Lord said to me, now go and raise the funds for that land. I went and I raised the funds. I came back, put the money in the bank, and just waited for God to his timing. And that year in August, my husband came into the lounge and he said, because now the bank had repossessed this land, he said, look, the bank wants a bid because the man who bought it can no longer afford to pay for the land. I put in my bid because, you know, God had already told me to go and put in my bid with division. Now listen, this is now the land I had to die for. Remember, this is the land for which they wanted to kill me. Put in my bid, waited, went around it with the staff. We would pray and we would say, thank you, Father God, that this land is ours. Eventually, we got the message that the land, that the, somebody had won the bid. I said, don't worry, because if God has spoken, he won't change it. It's our land. You just wait and sit tight because he'll do it. And nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. In the year 2004, I got a telephone call from the bank. And the bank said to me, Mrs. Chikwaza, would you please come and discuss the land? I went there and I saw on the screen the name Jesus. He had on his computer screen. And he said to me, I said, where's the man who won the bid? He said, actually, we can't find him. I said, I am not surprised, because when God speaks, it'll come to pass, and he's given us the land. He said, actually, we want you to have the land, but we want another amount of money. And it was quite another big amount of money. I said, don't worry about it. It'll come. They gave me on the Friday till the Wednesday morning to come up with the rest of the money. I didn't have a clue where I was going to get it. Not a clue. But I knew one thing, that God was going to be faithful. And that was the most important part. His faithfulness I depended on. On the Tuesday, I had an interview, that was before the Wednesday, I had an interview with TV Malawi, with the head of TV Malawi on my lawn in front of my house. And he said to me, Mrs. Chikwaza, what are your plans for the future? And I knew that the breakthrough had to come right from my mouth. You know, what you say is what you get. We say at times, well, what you say is what you get. But I knew what God had said. And I said to him, we have bought the property next door. I had this much. Zero. Nothing. I said, we bought the property next door and we're going to do X, Y, Z on this property. And my husband nearly had a fit, I'm telling you, because this is on national television and we have no money yet. We went to bed that evening. The telephone went at 10 past 10 that evening. And I had a lady on the telephone from the UK. I'd never seen her, never spoken to her. And she said to me, Annie, if I give you that money, because I'd sent out emails, Annie, if I give you that money, are you sure you're going to get the land? And I said, yes, for sure. She said, well, you've got the money. Can you see how faithful God is when you just simply commit your works to Him, you commit your life to Him, when He'll teach you to forgive, to walk in His abundance? And ever since, I could keep you occupied for a day to just tell you how God has been faithful to our children. We have 160 of them. At times we've had 180, a few have left. We've got 160 children from the age of 2 to 18. They all need to be educated. They all need food every day. They all need good housing. And they all need, well, they need to have nice things to do. Nice clothes to wear. Especially the teenagers, hey? You teenagers, you know that. We have never, ever begged for bread. Never. You know, it says that he will not forsake the righteous or let them beg for bread. Never. God has been faithful. You know, I have unfortunately no sob stories for you. Because my God has said that he will supply my every need. He does it through people. Of course he does it through people. Right now, we need people. We need teachers. We need young people with degrees to come and help at our school. If there's any one of you here and you feel God's calling you onto the mission field, let me know. But we have a faithful Father. Now, you said that I could perhaps just let people have some questions. Now, will you stop me when I'm... Because anybody have any questions? Because, you know, I've got a book. Somebody wrote this book. It is called Mother of Malawi. And of course it gives you a far more in-depth account of what God has done at Kondanani. I must tell you that we have a big property now. That's 50 acres for which they wanted to kill me. And it's ours. The way it was done, I don't understand sometimes, but I know it's there. We have a farm. We have a cheese-making operation. It's just a blessing of what is done. Now, any questions? Because I'm sure I've just... You know, my sheep hear my voice. Do you have a mother and a father? How do you know their voice? Because you converse with them. Yeah. So, if you converse with your Heavenly Father, you learn to get His voice. You learn to hear His voice. But it's in your... you know, we often have a monologue with God rather than have a dialogue with God. You know, it's a two-way dialogue. We need a dialogue with God. We need to sit with Him. We need to talk to Him and let Him speak to our hearts. We can hear the voice of God, but it takes time. It takes time to get a person. You get if someone new comes into your life, it takes time to get to know their voice. Because why? But you do listen to them. It's the same with God. Really. But make your prayer life a dialogue and not a monologue. There was somebody else. Yes. Because it becomes an experience. You it's the dialogue you have with God. Like I said to her, we make it a one-way street. You know, we just pray and we tell God what we want most of the time, instead of actually worshiping Him and then let Him speak to our heart. You know, you're the spirit. It's God. You know, you don't, with your, in the physical, you don't, can't touch God, but with your spirit, you touch God. My dream is to see our children become well educated. You know, we have a nursery school, we have a primary school, we have a high school. And our oldest children are at high school. And what we're going to do is we will provide university education online. This is the way I see it at the moment, that we have university education online, and others who want to do medical school. That's my dream. We now have stopped taking more children, because you can imagine, you know, perhaps you've got two kids, and you say, you kind of say, well, you know, these children, they're so expensive, right? Well, now you have 160. And they're really expensive, right? So we don't take any more children. We're going to educate these 160 children. And we are now going to start, we have a baby home. And the baby home is going to be empty in about a year's time. And it's a beautiful building. So we're going to start a hospital for children below the age of 5, because it is those children who are dying very frequently in our hospitals and in the villages. And that is where we're going now. Yes. Yes. We have an educational system which is called ACE, Accelerated Christian Education. The children work, I don't know if some of you know this system, but it's an American system, and the children work at their own pace. So you could have a 9-year-old already being ahead of an 11-year-old, depending on the intelligence of the child. And the child, you know, they get thoroughly educated in the things of God. Yeah, it's very important that they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Any other questions? Can't see anybody anymore. Oh, yeah, there's some. Sorry. Yeah. No. No. You know, I think I got to know Jesus Christ, you know, out of a very, you'll read the book. I had been sexually abused. By the time I got to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'd been sexually abused. I had tried to commit suicide, I don't even know how often. And so I'd come out of such a deep depression and out of such a bad situation that when I gave my life to Jesus, He became the anchor. And whatever circumstances I found myself in, for example, I married the wrong man. I knew by the time I did that, it was wrong. Okay, I knew that. But the thing is, I did it. But it became, those 17 difficult years became an anchor for my soul. I hung on to my Heavenly Father. So by the time I had these difficult situations, I knew who he was, and I didn't go and let myself go and look at the circumstances, but I would look at him, because otherwise I know I would just go right into the miry clay once again.
Thank you very much, because of your time. Thank you. We are really impressed with the speech of Mrs. Annie, and that's a great experience in Africa. But I got to know that you had a real problem with listening to the voice of God. So we'll put it in our program, because there are many questions related to how to listen to God's voice. I thought all of you know the way. Thank you again. We are really blessed being among us.